connecting our voices. Ooh, born from the need to feel connected. To voices strong and uncollected. From island shores to distant lands, we reach across with open hands. Pacifica Wire, connecting our voices, lifting every voice higher, on air and online. We're tuning in together, no matter the weather. United we inspire. Pacifica Wire, from the heart of the industry to your home and family. New tech and legacy, we share our destiny. We laugh and we learn, we cry and we cheer. Though miles apart, we're always near. The same show, the same time, a rhythm, a style. Pacifica Wire, lifting every voice higher. Stories told side by side, on air and online. .com.
FM 104.6. Very good afternoon, good evening, Maloa Lele, and welcome to Pacifica Wire, PW Live, connecting our voices. And we've got a very special voice that we are connecting today. You're here with Gary and myself and Alyssa, and we are proud to be bringing you this next hour. So get comfortable and make sure you stay tuned. Now, turning to this contraption here. Just want to introduce this very multi-talented gentleman who we're very proud who is with us. Now, if you have frequented nightclubs, let me say a place like, oh, I don't know, Groove Bar in Kingsland, then you know who I'm talking about. If you have been to matches, big games like the World Cup, the All Black matches, Moana Pacifica, then you've heard the talents of this gentleman. You would also, if you've been very fortunate that he has played the beautiful music to your very special occasions, whether it be weddings, 21st, graduations, you name it, you know who I am talking about. And he was a former program manager for New FM, Radio 531 PI, our PMN languages as well. So this man knows his music, he knows his events, and we've got him in the studio today just by, you know, he's made some room for us in his heavy schedule. So we are very proud to introduce Alfred Goody, a.k.a. DJ Al Goody. Sorry, Alfred Aholele, excuse me. DJ Al Goody. So, Maloa Lele, Alf, it's so good to see you.
Hey, glads. Great to be here. And what an intro. What an intro. I was like, what? Did I do all that stuff?
But yes, no, you do.
Very humbled.
Yes, you do. It's so good to see you. And, like, I mean, you just look so calm, given that you have just, like, got a whirlwind of events going on, and you've got something after this. So we're really lucky that you're here with us.
I am honoured to be here. So congratulations on your show. It's a brilliant concept, and I'm proud of you guys.
Thank you. Yeah. And likewise. And, like, if I kept going with your intro, then we would run out of the hour. So, yeah, we have to move along. But again, Alf, music is in your blood. It's been in your blood for however long it's been. Can you just take us back a little to the journey where you knew this is what I want to do?
As a young child, I grew up in a church that had a choir that was very, very, how do you say, it was strong. It was a strong choir. It was a Tongan Catholic choir, and my mother was the lead singer of the choir, so that's kind of where everything started because, you know, as a young child, mum would be, I was the youngest of 8 children, but I mean, everyone was a lot older, so I only grew up with maybe 3 or 4 of my siblings. And other siblings lived in Tonga and whatnot. So as the youngest of everyone, I was kind of, you know, babied, and mum had taken me everywhere she went. So choir practice was a real thing for me as a child, and getting to experience that really did influence my love for music, harmonies, the lot. So yeah, that was where it started. And then as I grew up to be a young primary school kid, my elder siblings had various tastes in music. I had a brother that was into Bob Marley and reggae, right, and rock, whereas I had another sister that was into Motown and the R&B of the US, and then I had another sister that was into predominantly UK stuff, so British pop. So kind of my influences, actually, yeah. And I had another older brother that he was into like Elton John and that generation. So he was a lot older than us. So he was from the kind of 70s era. So my musical taste really did come from
such a range.
Yeah, and then me being the youngest of that time, I was into 90s R&B and rap and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it was a range of music that I was exposed to.
Gosh, and then from there, when was it that you thought, okay, I know I love music, moving into that space of being a DJ and, like, how did you start that? When did you know, okay, this is what I need to do in order to do this? Or,
yeah, I think it was like maybe form 2, third form. What is that, year 8? Year 8, year 9? And one of my sisters had a 21st, and all her friends were there, as you do at a 21st. We just had it in this, like, makeshift marquee at home.
Right.
Dad had somehow put it together with the uncles, and there was a DJ there. It was the first time I'd actually seen a live DJ. Yeah. And I was just like, I marveled at the way he was able to control that whole room. Like, it was just,
yep,
it was like Pied Piper. Everyone was kind of, and I think back in that generation or that day, everyone kind of danced in lines. Like girls, boys, I'm sure you can remember that.
Yes, I remember that
time where, you know, everyone, it was kind of like lines, and
yeah,
I just loved how this DJ was able to do that with like 2 turntables and a mix and a bunch of records, and I was like, I really want to do that.
Yeah.
Because I loved music, and I just loved how he was able to kind of just create this flow from the start to end, where it took people on a bit of a journey, and, you know, send them off on a good, you know, good high.
Yeah. And speaking of that journey, you have, like, I've seen you in action where people just, as soon as you play a song, and it just, like you said, it controls the room, it changes the whole, you know, atmosphere. Is that something you were conscious of, like, when you getting into that space?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, atmosphere. atmosphere is everything to me because, you know, I can walk in a room and there could be nobody in the room. It could be just myself, the staff that are working at the venue. But I'm trying to create an atmosphere for them, you know. Right. Do you know what I mean? Like, we start the room as these people, I'm in the corner and they're at the bar, or the hospitality staff are setting the table. So I'm trying to get them to kind of feel something.
Yep.
Not play, like, dance music so they're dancing whilst they're setting up. But I start with them, you know, make them feel good. And then when people start walking in the doors, you know, you're making them feel a certain way. Not necessarily getting up on the floor and going crazy, but it's almost like, okay, I walk into the space as a patron and I will feel comfortable because somehow this DJ is playing something. Unconsciously, they don't realize I'm playing something to make them feel a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, whether it's the beginning of the night or the end of the night, I'll try and figure out what it is that is best to be played at that certain time. Even, like, lighting and, you know, the time of day is important to me because, you know, I'm not going to play, I want to play something that suits maybe the sunset going down.
Right.
You know, in a function room. You know, what is a song that would best suit this feeling right now?
Mm.
So, yeah, that is very important to everything I do when it comes to music.
And you've done from in community halls, you've done to the big stage, the Rugby World Cup, you've done All Blacks games like we talked about, Moana Pacifica, but you've also done some pretty high corporate events as well. What's that like in terms of from going from Pacific to just your general mainstream sort of events? How much do you have to change it up? But like you said, goes with the group that you're with, right?
Yeah. I guess, what is the word that everyone uses right now, Alyssa? Code switching? Everyone code switches.
Ew.
Yeah. That is the term you use, code switch, so I can, you know, walk into a space and code switch and kind of, but, you know, I've got to do my homework as well. Like, who's going to be there? What is the organization that I'm DJing for? What kind of feel do they want? You know, I have what I'm into, but also I've got to understand that if I'm contracted to play for a certain client, then I have to, you know, kind of follow what they want or, you know, what is the end goal for them. Mm-hmm. So, working in mainstream spaces really does take a lot of, like, you know, thinking and experience.
Yeah.
And
then, of course, you've got those. And then you've got nightclubs, bars, and I've seen, like, you keep your complete calm when you've got people who are just like, can you play this? How do you control that?
Thankfully I've got a, you know, I'm quite calm when it comes to a lot of, most of the time.
Yes.
I can't say that happens all the time, but most of the time I'm quite open to when people are wanting songs because I can't read people's minds, so I can only do what I know, right? So if people are coming up to me and go, oh, could we have the song because it's a special song for that group of people there, they're from blah, 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 blah,
yeah.
Could you play the song? And I'm like, okay, cool. And so I'll have to kind of calculate in my mind, will it fit this time or can I play it to a little bit later down the track? And, on the most part, I usually do, you know, help people out with requests.
Yeah. And a lot of requests that you helped with is your time at PMN, because that's how we all met.
Yes.
Me, you, Issa, we all worked at Pacific Media Network, New FM 531. You were my boss at one stage. Thank you. Thank
what
you
the
for
heck?
That bonus that you gave me. I'm kidding. No. He was a really, really good boss, along with Tetmo. That's another story. We'll save that for another day. But you were also in control of, as the program director, ensuring the music.
Mm-hmm.
And you had two very different styles there. You had 531, New FM. So how did you collaborate on that?
Yeah, it was very... what is the word? With those two brands, you kind of really needed to understand who you were talking to or who you were trying to reach. And music does a lot with the two brands, because in a room you could have like a 20-year-old and you could have a 60-year-old.
Yeah.
And both groups would have different interests in music, right? So it's for the 60-year-old, generally that would be a 531 audience, a 60-year-old born in Samoa or Tonga. Mm. English is a second language. Pretty much just used to maybe church music. And all the kind of modern music of today is foreign to them. So understanding that demographic is key to programming, because you don't want to be programming something that will just get them to switch the station and go, oh, I don't want to listen to that.
Yeah, exactly.
And that would be the same with your younger audience as well. So understanding what they're into, but also what is the theme of the organization or the station. Mm. That's important. We're talking about PMN and how they operated. It was a Pacific-centric. It is a Pacific-centric station, so you're focusing on music that is kind of Pacifica-themed or would reach a Pacifica audience. Mm. So that's kind of how I was able to kind of, as a music director, kind of filter out what goes to 531 and what goes to New FM. And then obviously everything else around it is the content. Yep. As the content and what people are talking about.
Yeah.
Two different themes, two different sides of the track in terms of what a 20-year-old and a 60-year-old would be interested in. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that would kind of, and you know this, that would really separate the two.
Mm. How has Pacific music in your experience, how has it evolved over time?
Man, funny you say that. I was listening to some Pacific music from maybe the 90s.
Right.
Just the other day, going through albums, and I was like, wow, the production from the 90s till today is worlds apart. Like, some of the stuff in the 90s were okay. To be honest, I can't remember what I would have heard in the 80s as a kid. But, you know, 90s was really when things started to pop off, and Pacifica musicians would come out of the woodworks with the access to technology and everything else. But yeah, the evolution of Pacific music from, say, the 90s through to now, today, has changed so much. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. And, you know, talking about changes, I don't know if it's, you know, I know it was very raw at the time, but the Rugby League World Cup, when it was here in New Zealand, was that 2017, 2018?
Yeah, 2017, I think.
2017. And you were at the forefront in terms of the music on the field and the explosion of Matim Matonga. And I just, I still know the name of Jason Taumalolo. I didn't even know who was on the Black Ferns. See, I'm really showing my ignorance. My apologies. But I knew everything about Mate Matonga at the time, just the explosion of the Pacific teams, and you were right there in the heart of it. But there was some bad behaviour behind the scenes, and you had to confront all that at the time. Are you able just to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. It was an incident that happened it was, you know, where we work in production for the games, it's kind of like a closed area, very similar to this. And so you have, probably bigger than this, but you have lots of people coming in and out. You know, NRL officials, production, the production team. So there are lots of people that I wasn't familiar with. But the incident that you speak of happened during halftime, where we were doing an activation and I have to play music for the activation. And a song that I played was a song called Follow the Leader. And it's quite an upbeat song. African song, I think.
The Soccer Boys, isn't it?
So that's The roof is on fire.
Yeah.
And so, you know, for our Pacific communities, they go nuts every time they hear that song.
Yeah.
Every time you play that song, you know, there's bound to be a bunch of people that will get up and dance. So this, you know, was the usual thing. People got up and danced. And then on the big screen, the cameras focused on one guy on the stairs, and he was like, you know, he was very animated. Mm. He looked like he was having lots of fun.
Right.
And as that happened, there was a guy that kind of walked behind me, and he looked at the screen as well. We were all looking at it. And he was like, you know, he basically just said, hey, dance, monkey, dance. And that was his comment. And I was like,
Beg your pardon?
Oh, you know, like that kind of wasn't the best choice of words. So that kind of happened. And I was like, I turned around. I was like, excuse me? Like, did you really just say that? And then my show caller, who, you know, I worked alongside, she was like, she heard it as well. And she said, turned around and said to that guy, she was like, hey, that wasn't appropriate. Because, you know, she heard me.
Yeah.
And then I kind of just froze. And I was like, just shaking my head and going, oh, did I just hear that? Did that really just happen? Anyway, the rest was, I had to continue going. Like, I didn't know how to feel or what to do. But I kind of just had to remain calm in that space and then just carry on. But I still, to this day, do not remember what I did in that second half and how I continued to go. Because I was like, shoot, that really was out of it. Like, with just our people, or those people that you just called monkey, filled this whole stadium. They're basically paying your salary. Because if the stadium wasn't full, you wouldn't be paid. Or, you know, maybe you wouldn't get a job next week. But it's like, these people, our people, created this colour that you never see any other game. Like, no Blues game would be that way. No Chiefs game would be that way. Our Pacific community made the World Cup what it was.
So,
it was kind of like a bag of mixed emotions and trying to navigate that space at that time, feeling like, what do I do? Like, you know, I think a younger Alf will turn around and, like, you know, let's go outside. Let's go sort it out, because you can't say
follow
that.
Follow the leader.
Yeah, follow the leader, right? that was it. And then there were afterwards, I had gone through and processed it at home. I was like, numb. So I got home. My wife was home. She was like, oh, man, great game, blah, 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 blah. Had some rallies there. And then I can't remember talking to them. But I just sat at the dinner table and I was just like writing this message going, just kind of my experience. And I was kind of, I think I got home at like maybe 10 o'clock. I didn't go to sleep till like 1, 2 o'clock that morning. Just because I was just like just writing. And then I'd shared this post.
I remember it went viral. It went viral.
But that wasn't the intention. The intention was just to kind of share the moment and kind of speak about what it's like to kind of be in that, you know, experience that. But also what was going through my head was, man, imagine those people that work in spaces where they can't say anything, you know, and, you know, like maybe cleaners or industries where they're too scared to speak up. And, you know, maybe I could have put a black mark on my name for speaking up. But I didn't care. I didn't care. And I wasn't trying to create this post to go viral. But, you know, I posted it, gone to sleep, then woke up. I was like, what the hell?
The phone was ringing.
It was ringing. I was like, what did I just do?
Yeah.
I was like, oh. You know, radio stations from all over the place calling me, the NRL calling me. That was kind of how that whole thing kind of just spiraled into something that wasn't really my intention.
And fast forward, you're still at these big games. Is that attitude, is there anything like that still? I mean, I'm assuming there is out there in the cosmos, but have you seen an improvement?
Oh, yeah, like you said, it's always going to be there. It's always going to be there. But thankfully, I haven't experienced it in that way. But, you know, I'm glad that, you know, it was done and people are aware of it. You know, but yeah, like I said, it's always going to be there, but, you know, what, we can't change them. People got to change themselves. So, yeah, I'm not going to force it. But I'm glad that, you know, things have really worked out.
And speaking of working out, like we've seen, you know, of course you've done Rugby World Cup, you've done All Blacks, Moana Pacifica, and what a year that they had. But I think what was encouraging was to see there you are making the music happen. You've got Ma'a Brian Sa'angala there, you've got John Pulu, you know. How far have we come in terms of seeing Pacific really take another step in this industry, like behind the scenes, in front of the scenes? You've seen that. What's that like to see?
Kind of when I started in this industry, there wasn't many of us.
Yeah.
You know, there weren't many people, Pacific or people in that space. And it's really nice to kind of see that we're, you know, taking control of our own organizations and our content. Because, you know, like, no one can do our content but us.
Yeah.
So when you are used to being, you know, in organizations where they go, okay, well, we want you to do it like this. But I'm like, but are you from this space? How do you come up with those decisions? I mean, they do that to kind of mold whatever content that you're producing to kind of fit their boxes, right? But, you know, Moana Pacifica has really been a breakthrough organization on many levels, you know, not only on the field, but like externally as well, in the back rooms with, you know, the leadership that they have there, but also like putting us in positions where we lead, you know, the likes of John Paul or the likes of Ma'a, Brian Sangala, and seeing them flourish and do their thing. They're just doing them.
Yeah.
They're not, you know, doing a mainstream read or a mainstream delivery. Mm. They're just being Ma'a. They're just being JP. And I'm just trying to be Alf or Al Goody.
Yeah.
It's been a breakthrough this year in terms of what they've done on the field because of the leadership of Ari Savia and who he's brought to Moana Pacifica, but also letting us just be us. Mm.
And speaking of that, like, we've talked a lot about your music and production, but you've also, and you work in health advocacy as well. I know you've done a lot of work in there, especially with the whānau and that, so your interests go beyond. So how does that marry up?
I guess it's always been about community, our communities. So that's kind of where everything stems from, right? Regardless of whether it's music or cooking a barbecue at a local, event. You know, I'd be there.
Mm.
So, the work that I did with the whānau was amazing. You know, I'm no longer with them, but when I did work with them, it was such a nice space to be in, especially because, you know, it was health and creating initiatives to help our communities. But I was able to kind of, you know, experience something different from, say, media and music.
Mm.
And I mean, and that really came about through COVID. And that period of our life where we kind of couldn't, you know, go out and DJ and create parties and do this and that. I could have probably been one of these online DJs, but that never really interested me at the time. But when an opportunity came with the whānau to help there, man, I just took it with both arms and loved every minute of it.
Nice. Mm. And, you know, speaking of loving every minute of it, you've also, like, you've helped grow broadcasters, Pacific broadcasters, into where they are. You must be happy to see where they are now, where they've grown. And I'm thinking of the likes of Alice. You know, we've all worked with Alice, but now she's at ABC Pacific.
Yeah.
That must be heartening for you that you've had, you know, a lot of people like Sō Mālō at Tahi FM, all these people that you were, you know, part of. What does that feel like?
Oh, I'm proud of them. I'm proud to have been a small part in their journey. You know, like, I guess giving people opportunities to explore themselves and kind of reach their potential is something that I love doing, whether it was in broadcasting or whether it's like, you know, people in the music industry that I work with, whether it's an artist that I try and promote through playing the music.
Mm.
I try not to gatekeep. You know, that gatekeeping was always a thing, you know, moving into this industry, like, oh man, so-and-so is in this position and they're not going to let me have a go, blah, blah, blah. And I didn't want to be that guy.
Yep.
I really didn't want to be that guy. So whatever opportunities I could give people, I would do my best, you know, to help them, to usher them through this door or show them, okay, well, this is the person you need to speak to. And I might not have all the answers to what they're trying to achieve, but if I know somebody that knows somebody, then I will hand them over. So, yeah, seeing Sō Mālō do his thing with Tahi FM, seeing Alice and ABC Pacific and fully flourishing really warms my heart, you know, because, you know, for a young person, sometimes they're like, oh, man, you know, this is what I know, or this, I'm not getting any opportunities. I tell a lot of them, this isn't the be-all and end-all. You know, where you're at right now, there are so many opportunities externally from where you are, with whatever organization that you're in, that you can explore and you can, you know, go for. Don't let this space kind of dictate you and your dreams and aspirations.
Speaking of that, has there ever been a time when you've said no to something?
Yeah, I do. I do say no.
I do say no. I was going to say, does he say no?
Yeah, I do say no. To my dog.
Animals, no.
Nah, I do. If I can help, I will. That's my thing. And sometimes, you know, it could be a tough on the time and body. But yeah, there are some people that I've followed the example of them and the way they've lived their lives that kind of, you know, has provided me like the template to go, okay, actually you can do it. You can do it. You're only in this space for so long. You're only going to be as young as you are for so long before you move on to the next stage of life. So if I can do it now, I will.
And, you know, talking of that, not to get morbid, we've lost a huge giant in our Pacifica Melanesian community, Fiji, George Vaikoso, and you've worked with them and you've spent time with them. So I thought this is probably a good time just to remember him. Mm. And we'll come back and we'll talk more about it. This is the late Fiji Vaikoso. Hey Girl, featuring Siosi. We're talking with DJ Al Goody. We'll be right back. PW Live. unmistakable voice of the late, great George Fiji Vaikosor here at PW Live, connecting our voices, and we're very privileged to have Alfred Aholele, a.k.a. DJ Al Goody. And Alf, you've worked with the late Fiji. Can I share? Because we're all still in a bit of shock, but for you, on a personal level, take us down a bit of memory lane with your time with Fiji, and as an artist, as a fellow, musician.
My time with Fiji was really just started with shows, and being his DJ for his shows, and that was humbling to kind of be asked to kind of be in that position, but also to spend time with him, so that was initially was our first interactions was like, he was the star and I was the little guy that played before him. So, yeah, man, that's like well over 10 years, maybe 15 years of kind of knowing this man.
Yeah.
Coming back and forth, him doing shows here in New Zealand. He was a brilliant man. He lived life the way he wanted it. He didn't follow anyone's rules but his own rules. But he was a true man of the people. And you can see all the tributes that are flowing right now with, his passing. Just being amongst them and hearing the stories and hearing the advice, like life advice from him, was precious. Mm-hmm. He made you feel like you were the only person in the room that he was talking to, and there was a million people in the room. But once he gave you his attention, oh man, you zeroed in everything he said. So being able to kind of spend that time with them and to have him share life knowledge is priceless, and I'll never forget that. His musical genius, seeing him in studio, seeing him record, like I'd listen to a recording that they've, that he's done, or the group he's done with, and then I'll be like, man, that sounds amazing. And he'll be sitting there thinking, note recording in. I'm like, what the heck? That is, it sounded fire to me. Mm. But to this man who has made countless hits, 30, 40 years, you understand why he is the way he is. Mm. He'd be in his wheelchair. Everyone's tired. It's like 3 a.m. Record again. Do it again. And you hear the same thing with other musical geniuses around the world. They do the same thing. They'll sit there and they'll like listen to something. Oh no, the drums that aren't right. Can we change the drums? They will pick everything apart so that whatever they've got in their mind or their picturing comes to life. And that was Fiji. That's why he had so many hits. That's why he is the godfather of Pacific reggae or Pacific music. That's why we don't have anyone else like him. That's why he's unique. So, when you talk about this man, you talk about, everything that he put his heart and soul into, which was his music and his people and his love for Pacific people. He brought everybody together, whether you're Tongan, Samoan, Fijian, New Wangkuka, he brought the Pacific together. And there's not many people that can do that. You're either like this or that, but he was everything. So, yeah, he was it's a huge loss to our community.
And, you're one of those who can bring Pacific people together. And I'm thinking you've done shows here in New Zealand, but also in the Pacific. How different is the vibe there? Do you have to change it up a bit?
Yeah, you do. You do. You don't go into the Pacific thinking, oh, yeah, this is what we played in New Zealand. This is what, even though technology has made everything, a lot more accessible and closer, there is still a different vibe in the Pacific, in the islands. So I'll never go into the islands going, yeah, this is what we put. Nah, you will fall over doing that. You'll be like, everyone's like staring at you going, what the hell is this guy playing? So, yeah. There is always a different vibe in, say, Tonga to Samoa to Fiji, in Samoa. There's a lot of slow jams that people love their slow slow music and stuff.
Right.
In Tonga, it's like the opposite. They just want everything at 180 BPM per minute. Like, it's like, oh my gosh, you're not going to have a heart attack playing this music. So, understanding the environment is always key.
Has there ever been a point where you thought, I want to hang this up, I want to try something new? Has that ever crossed your mind?
Not yet. You know, Fiji, like going back to Fiji, he was a huge influence to me, a massive influence, because he did what he loved, basically till the day he left us. And I love this. I love being able to kind of connect with people, being able to be in spaces where, Pasifika people aren't, and trying to open those doors so that the next gen come through, it's going to be a lot easier for them to be in those spaces. So as long as I can do it, I will. But, I know there's a time where I really will have to hang up the headphones and not be so prominent on the decks or on turntables. There'll be another. I know that's going to be a progression somewhere down the tracks, but right at this point in time, I'm enjoying the ride.
And what a ride it is. And like you said, you, with all of your experience and your knowledge, are you seeing a steady group of up-and-coming DJs coming through?
Yeah, I love seeing all the new DJs come through. And, they're going into spaces that, I would never, have dreamed of. Right. And now, they're Pasifika DJs going to Glastonbury and, going to the UK and doing all of that stuff, and they're taking our flavour with them,
Nice.
Seeing that really, really does make me feel good, because a lot of us have been part of it in some way. We may have influenced some of these people, but, they've just taken it to another level. So proud of these young Pasifika DJs.
What's a common question you often get asked by the up-and-comings? Like, what advice are they pulling from you?
A lot of the time is like, when they hear me playing something, they're like, how do you know that song? how do you know that? And I think a big thing for me as a DJ is like, life experience and being able to open your mind to different genres of music, be it jazz, be it classical, be it house, be it rap, be it reggae. I always picture the different people that I've come across in life and the taste of music that they are into. Like my uncle, I grew up with my uncle, and he's like 80 years old, but he listens to, classical music. I'd always go to his house. He'd be working his garden, and he'll be like, this is a Tongan man, but he's into classical music.
Classical.
So I'm like, okay, that's what you like, and maybe there are other people like you. Or, I'll go to my cousin's house in Brisbane, and they're into rock music. And I'm like, jeepers, I've never met Pacifica people that are into rock music. So kind of understanding, different areas, different spaces, and go, okay, well, maybe they're into this, maybe they're into country. So I love being able to kind of, I'm a people watcher.
Right.
So I watch people, I might go to Rimmer's and go, Rimura. Okay, what are they into there?
Right.
They're into rap. So you kind of try and figure people out through music.
Wow.
Yeah.
Don't judge me, Alf. I grew up in Invercargill. I really liked Kylie Minogue. I'm saying it live. Can't believe I've just owned up to that.
Hey, Kylie was big, man.
Thank you.
Doing the locomotion was in back then.
Yes.
Yeah, so...
I was looking at me like, oh dear, what hope have we got? We talked about it. You fit us in, but you're just so busy. So what's happening for you?
It's still kind of sports season right now.
Yep.
Just kind of finished Super Rugby. The ABs are kind of in the middle of this season, so I've just finished three games with them.
Oh.
The ANZ Cup, the netball, is about to wrap up as well, so I'm going to do the final. And then we're kind of moving into International League towards the end of the year. And then I've got all these other events in between. So kind of, juggling times, juggling musical programming, to the different events is kind of where I'm at right now, as well as some other little projects that I'm working on behind the scenes. So, yeah, if you don't keep busy, the bills don't get paid, so you got to try and figure it out.
And that's the reality, with everything else that's going on. Are there perks to the job?
Yeah, I guess there are. I mean, if you like travelling, you get to, you know, stay in nice hotels and, you know, you get to travel all over the place. You get to eat well. Hence the reason why I've probably put on weight the last 10 years. I'm trying to lose that weight, by the way. Also, you know, like, you know, you can give tickets to your family members to games, big games and whatnot. You have access to a lot of different people. So your networks are created through doing the different events in different spaces. Mm-hmm. So that's probably the biggest thing for me is networking and making sure that you do a great job so that they book you for the next event or other people will book you for their event. So creating a reputation for yourself is everything to me in this industry.
Yeah. And, like, you know, for you and your family and your children, is this something they want to follow their dad in his footsteps?
I think maybe one of the children is quite keen on doing it. So I'm trying to help her, but I'm not trying to help her too much. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, you got to learn yourself. I can't, like, sit there and teach you everything that I know. If you're very passionate about doing this, here are a pair of turntables and your laptop, figure it out. But once you get to the next level where you want to refine your craft or, you know about how to get into a nightclub or get a 21st gig, then we'll start talking. But right now, I just want you to have fun with it, experiment, find your flavor, and then, we'll talk when you get to the next level.
Mm. Expensive? Is it an expensive industry to get into? Like, with the equipment that you have. So are you constantly having to refine that as well as keep up with that?
Yeah. When you're doing, like, live-to-TV games like the All Blacks and stuff, you know, you're going to make sure that you've got the best gear possible to use. So you're constantly researching on new gear, new equipment. Laptops are a thing, making sure that you've got two, you know. I used to do these games with one laptop. I'm like, what the heck? You know, I could have easily busted that laptop and then what? There'll be no music for the rest of the game?
Yeah.
So I learned that lesson early, not with having a busted laptop, but I was like, okay, no, for safety, there's two laptops. So that's expensive, especially if it's a MacBook or something.
Right.
But yeah, gear can be very expensive, but accessibility right now is so much easier. You don't have to worry about buying CDs. You don't have to worry about buying records and all the rest. It's just a quick download and you have 10,000 songs. But it's how you play the 10,000 songs. That's not, you know, what you have in your library or how many. It's like I can have the same library as that person, but we will play the songs differently.
Yeah. You've got your own sound. You've got your own rhythm to it. So people listening, watching, how do they get in touch if they, because I can imagine it's coming up to wedding season, it's coming up to graduations and that, so people are able to make contact with you via Facebook, websites, how do they do that?
Maybe Instagram is the easiest place to find me.
I'm showing my age, see, I didn't even think of Instagram, okay.
Yeah.
So Instagram.
At Al Goodie, at ALGOODIE. I'm quite easy to find. I don't really use TikTok, even though I know I need to use it, but I'm still old school. I mean, I still jump into Facebook as well, but
Facebook.
Yeah.
I just know how to share.
Insta's easier to get at me, so yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, again, it's Instagram. Gary, we're still going? Yes, we're still going. So can you just repeat how we can get in touch with you again?
Yeah, sure. At Al Goodie, at ALGOODIE on Instagram. Send me a message and I'll be more than happy to help, whether it's advice on how to get into DJing or if you need me for an event or whatnot. Yeah, more than happy to help.
Your last word. Leaving it to you.
Oh, my gosh, what I say. All I can say is that very thankful and blessed to have been on this journey, to still be on this journey. And to anyone out there that has dreams or aspirations to either be a DJ, be a singer, be whatever, you know, don't let anybody tell you any different that you can't do it, because you can. I'm a boy from Favona, Mangere, and I have met people from all walks of life just by being open-minded. And if you can do the same, if I can do this, you can do way better than I could. So, yeah, give it a go.
And that is how it's done. Ladies and gentlemen, that was DJ Al Goody. And it's only fitting, Alf, that we finish it with BG.
Hey.
Bit of a sweet darling. He is indeed. That's been PW Live with our very special guest, Alfred Ahonele. DJ Al Goody,
Thank you.
It's been great to connect. We'll do it again.
Sure.
Right here. Connecting our voices.
Sometimes I wonder just how things happen this way. And I'm just reminiscing of that one whole night we would spend. You'd pick me up every morning. Just be through with the glove.
taita o le tama futana ina ia maua se wina ele sua malie bea fai confie bea tutu sata ula ile loto
Say,
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 say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say, say,